Lawn Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geek though.
My lord! American Marketing! Border Charcoal, that bastard! Bees!
Boom wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 111 of Three in the Box.
Hey, that's us.
That's three.
That's us.
Your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, November 7th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about shutouts, losses, and dealing with injuries. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
Trying to get your pointing right.
Yeah, so it looks right on the screen, yeah. You know?
What? Up?
It's like Brady Bunch?
Yep. Something like that.
Here's a story.
About a man named Jive.
I was about to say about a man named Boudreaux, but...
okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
So, let's see here. How was Halloween for you guys? I mean, I don't think we've done a show since Halloween, so...
Before Halloween?
Yeah. So,
yeah. Uneventful.
Uneventful.
I think I worked till like 8. I drank a bottle of wine and watched Walking Dead.
I see. Well, I don't know. I had three little characters running around our neighborhood.
About a man named Jive.
Yeah, and they were they brought home the hall this year.
Yeah.
At least the two boys they made a. They made a pretty big dent in
Sylvie
the candy stash.
Didn't.
She did. She's still, you know, she's still a little bit young, so still preschooler.
Figured she would have been leading the pack, though.
No, she's got the short little legs still. So.
Yeah, I think at my house we had a total of 5 door knockers the whole time.
Oh,
yeah,
a lot of leftover candy.
Luckily, my wife brought it to her studio to give to customers, so it's nowhere near here.
There you go.
So,
yeah, that's my other problem with the kids bringing home all that candy, because, you know, like, they don't like the Snickers, because it has nuts in it.
And what?
And then there's the Reese's.
I can understand not
the Reese's Pumpkins. I mean... They might like those, but I'm not going to let them get at them because those are good.
Jive's going after them.
Okay, wait. Not liking Snickers, though? I mean, I can understand not liking Almond Joy or Mounds
because oh, yeah.
those are devil candy.
Yeah, I don't like those either. Those go to grandma. So
when I was a kid, we'd always squish them up and then like squeeze them out the end of the little fun size. So it was like a coconutty turd, and then we'd throw it away.
Nice. So you basically made the Almond Joy without the almond. What were those? Those were the
Mounds.
Mounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Almond Joy's got nuts.
Mounds
don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something else to that, right? I don't even remember. There's something else to
sometimes
that.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Wow. We're dating ourselves right now, because I don't think any of those commercials have been shown in like at least the last.
I don't think I've seen an Almond Joy commercial in at least 10 years.
When's the last time you saw an Almond Joy, period?
Halloween.
Yeah.
That's like the only time they resurface.
You can't tell me that you guys haven't sang that, though, recently. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
I always
That's
feel
what
like
she
a
said.
Anyway, I think we'll get into the Wild Week. Why don't
better.
We? So, 2 games on the docket for this week, both losses. Wild lose 2-1 at home versus Buffalo. Dubnyk's shutout streak ends in the first period.
Barely into the period.
Barely in the period, 3 minutes into the period.
I think out of our guesses, I think I was the closest.
What guess?
Last week, how long that shutout streak was going to continue.
I think we'll need someone to go back to the tape to find out what the times were.
I think I said 13, 14 minutes. And I think you had like a period or two or something. Yeah. I think I win.
I don't remember. So
I always win.
We'll have to go. Do you?
You remember that when the end of this week comes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's not going to be undefeated. Nah, I'm not. Or we won't talk about that here.
No one cares about your fantasy team.
Nope.
So Dubnyk's streak ends. Granny gets the second goal of the year.
It was a pretty goal, too.
It was a pretty goal. However, the rest of the game, boring. Pretty
lackluster.
It was lackluster, boring as crap. Yeah. And, I mean, you could make an argument that it's a game we should have won, but they played like donkeys. Likewise, we went to Colorado, lost 0-1. First shutout of the season for the Wild. Also ending Dubnyk's road shutout streak at 170 minutes and change, which is actually, I mean, that's pretty impressive in itself, too, because, you know, the Wild haven't always done very well on the road. So getting that far, that long of a streak without any goals against is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Also, the Wild give up only their second power play goal of the season in the game. First one on the road, but that's pretty good. I mean, the power play is much improved over last, or power, not power play, penalty kill,
yeah.
Is much improved over last year.
And last year wasn't, I don't think that was the most horrid spot of our team. I mean,
true. But the PK, if you compare the PK from 2 years ago,
oh yeah,
you know, the Brodziak era, as we'll call it.
Yeah,
Was much better than it was last year.
I agree.
Which made
last year's pretty. Last year just stunk.
It stunk. I mean, and it's easy to go, well, wow, we're really missing Brodziak. But you know, with that, the Wild's PK seems to be much improved over last year's. Is this just a case of Brodziak's system being better, or players rebounding, or do we have a new Brodziak that we don't know about? What do you guys think?
I think as far as the PK goes, I think some of it's still kind of a holdover from last year. Because we're still seeing the all of a sudden we're playing the passing game around the perimeter and not taking the shots. Power play. I'm sorry, PK.
You doing PK, what I did?
Yeah. No, I mean I think it's kind of been a bit of both. I think, you know, a little bit tighter defensively. I think the players are getting, you know, in the lanes a little bit more and clogging up. And Dubnyk's been rock solid, too. I mean, he's been stellar. I think that definitely helps with what's going on. So,
yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether it's a system. I mean, the basics of the penalty kill, I mean, are pretty simple. I mean, you're either, you know, running a box or a diamond type, and you got to, you know, stick in the lanes and, you know, be in between where they want to pass the puck so they can't, you know, make those long cross ice passes, because that's where they get you off balance and can really hurt you. And whether it's a matter of, you know, how Boudreaux is coaching them to do this or whether it's, you know, just a matter that we've got some young guys out there who are, you know, I think a lot of them have a lot of pep in their step, and you know, they're gonna be able to get to those you know, those lanes, those passing lanes, and you know, hopefully take some of that stuff away.
You know, how much do you guys think it is about you know, we're seeing a lot more of Zucker on the PK, which we would never see in the EO era. How much of that is just those other teams respecting, you know, the speed that's potential if they, you know, aren't controlling the zone?
Can be that too. Know? They don't want to, you know, they don't want to get stuck in too far and get burned, you know, for a shorty.
I mean, well, we've seen it before. I mean, this season, Granny got his first goal shorthanded. It was actually Wild's first shorthanded goal of the season.
Yeah.
You know, having Zucker there, yeah, I think there is a bit of that maybe intimidation factor of, you know, don't play too tight. Because, I mean, you break him free, he might not have the best hands in the world, but...
Yeah, his breakaway shot is not that good.
Him coming down the ice, all it takes is one other player to be trailing him, you know, and all of a sudden you got a very easy 2-on-1 or 2-on-0 situation against the goalie. So, you know, maybe it is an intimidation factor. You know, his speed's not going to hurt on the PK to begin with, though. Because, I mean, if he can get around and get in between some of those passing lanes, you know, go for it.
Well, and I do think defensively he's much improved than he was even last year. And maybe it's just the confidence of be actually getting the chance to play on the PK. You know, who knows? Aside from that, the other funny part of the Colorado game, we had a little moment between Dubnyk and Landeskog where Dubnyk gave Landeskog's getting in Dubnyk's area.
Getting in his bubble.
Dubnyk gives him a good chop with the blocker. Not with the blocker.
With his paddle.
Yeah, with his paddle. Understandably, Landeskog takes exception. However, he escalates it, and Dubnyk doesn't do anything to de-escalate the situation. So it basically ended up like a scrum behind the net as a play's down at the other end of the ice.
Well, it wasn't down there for long.
It wasn't down there very long before things got whistled down. Dubnyk gets whistled for two penalties, I think.
I think it's slashing and a roughing.
Right, which I think really kind of hurt the Wild was as far as getting a twofer on that one. I don't really have a question on it. I just thought it was fun to see. I mean, how long is it before we see are we going to see a goalie fight out of Dubnyk at some point?
You think they're going to maybe pull a page out of a Hextall's book or something here or what?
The good old Hextall hat trick.
Right.
A goal, a fight, and something else. I don't know what else.
Well, I mean, you can see just in his play and how he's carrying himself that he's becoming more of a leader on the team. You know, he gets three shutouts in a row. That's going to do a little bit for his ego. And, I mean, and taking that number one goalie position, and I don't think he's afraid to actually show, look, you know, you're going to get in my space. I'm not going to be afraid to drop the gloves with you if I have to.
Well, and in fairness, Brodeur, he would do the same sort of thing. I mean,
yeah.
He had him or Waugh. Waugh actually would be even a better example of a guy who wouldn't put up for people getting close to him.
You got
to
protect your area. I mean, right. that's your piece of the pie, and if you're not going to, you know, do what you can to assist and make sure that people don't want to be in your area, I mean, then you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. You know, how many times do you see a goaltender that's, you know, ducking his head up over trying to look around these right. guys and stuff? Give him a little quick whack, you know?
What was the...
That's what she said.
The angle with Jack? Where Samuel Jackson is with his goalie, though, you know, what are you doing, playing patty cake with his legs or whatever? No. You got to find that sample.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm worthless there.
I don't think we have that one on there, do we?
Oh, yeah. 12 minutes?
No. I think we had the GIMP sample in there. I think we may have got rid of
that. Oh, yeah, if you're going to play like the GIMP.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it, though. My phone might not be updated for the samples, though, so I'll take the one on that one.
All right.
Anyway.
Speaking of goalie interference with that game.
Yeah, there was goalie interference really late in the game. Ended up being a disallowed goal where Stahl. Stahl was kind of like impeding in, I don't remember who he was.
The defensive player for Colorado.
Right. He was getting in his, they were entangled and they fell over Pickard, which I still want to call Picard. I'm sorry. Captain Jean-Luc.
Picard. Yes.
They basically fell over Picard and goal was put in and you can make an argument. I think Stahl afterwards, he was saying in interviews that, you know, they were entangled and it was a mutual thing and Picard was way out of his crease and he wouldn't have got back for it anyway. But, you know, at the end of the day, they fell over Picard and, you know, what are you going to do? It's tough to call it against the goalie, I think. He's close enough to the crease where it's hard to call it against them, I think.
Fair enough.
So anyway, the Wild score one goal over the two games this week. It's pretty abysmal. I think it's safe to say that the Wild are missing Parisi and, to a lesser extent, Halla. If they're not back soon, though, and you're Bruce Boudreau, what do you do to start generating more offense at this point?
Well, we know what he does. He skates the guys to death at practice, and we'll see how that makes an impact.
And, yeah, I don't know that that's always the best bet, but, I'm not the head coach as well, but... I mean, really, what you need to do here is we need to go back to where we were at the beginning of the season. It really wasn't just those two. I mean, we had input from everybody.
Right.
And now everybody seems to kind of just be in a drought, you know, the last couple games here.
So it's like normal Wild play, you know? Yeah.
We're and it's our ups and downs. And I mean, really, though, you know, just, you know, a couple games earlier, though, we were scoring 4 or 5 goals a game.
Right, right.
So, you know, so we might have...
Much like how we spread the goals out amongst players, can't we just spread those goals out amongst games
Be, it would be nice, but it does not always work that way, you know? So, and, you know, that's why they play the games. Somebody's got to go home a loser every time. So, I don't think that we have a lot to worry about really yet, but you know, it's always been kind of a concern around here. We don't always get that, you know, the offense that we'd like. We don't have a guy who's gonna go out there and score us, you know, 30, 40, 50 goals in a year.
Hopefully we'll get a 130 guy, but
hopefully.
You know, but
well that's
40 would be pushing it.
Yes.
40 we haven't had a 40 guy since Gabby, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Speaking of samples,
just because you look like the Gimp, I mean, you play it. Like, yeah, the Gimp.
I wasn't looking for the sample called Gimp.
Well, why? Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
That makes sense with that sample.
Yeah. Anyway, move on.
Yeah. What do we got coming up?
So we're moving on to the weekly wild card.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this week we're going to talk a little bit about the Central Division.
All right.
The toughest division in hockey, right?
Division of Death.
Division of Death. Is it really?
DOD.
Is it really?
Is it? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Here yes. We go. So you've got, you know, we've got the Blackhawks, the Blues, the Wild, the Stars. Those are all good, solid teams, right? Then you've got the Jets and the Avalanche and the Predators. None of those teams, I guess, are, you know, people that you could actually shake a stick at and just say that it's a gimme. You know. So,
well, I mean, the Stars were all right last year, so you'd think they'd be a little better. The Preds are only, what, 2 seasons removed from a good season. The Jets were... They're in the playoffs last year, right?
They made the first round last year, yes.
Jets?
Yeah.
No.
Didn't they make the first round?
There was no Canadian teams in the playoffs last year.
Okay.
They got knocked out like the last game before. Yeah. Was it the last game?
Maybe it was 2 years ago. They were in
Yeah, because there was no Canadian teams last year.
And 2 years ago, you had the Preds in there.
Yeah.
And the Avs.
Although the Preds, after Suter, now they also lost, what's his name? Suter's defensive pairing. Shea Weber.
Yep.
Weber, yeah.
Yeah, the Preds are hurt. Well, but they got Subban, so it's not like they downgraded.
Right.
You know?
And, I mean, really, can you count any of those teams out at this point?
No. No, yeah. You can't.
And, you know, every year, it's always, you know, I feel it's always a constant struggle, you know, just to stay in contention for some sort of a playoff spot. Usually with the Wild here, it's, you know, we're wondering, you know, how many games do we have to win to get that wild card spot, right? Just get into the playoffs. So, you know, based on the start of the season, do you guys expect that it's going to be the same way for the Wild here this year? You know, fighting for the wild card spot and finding your way in there?
Well, I don't know if fighting for the wild card, I think we might be fighting for a top spot if we can maintain a healthy roster.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but also the Wild have just lost two in a row, and now
to teams that we probably shouldn't have lost to.
Right. And now it's looking. I mean, when you're 6-2-1, you look pretty good. When you're 6-4-1, you're like, okay, they're all right.
Yeah.
You know, those two losses this early in the season have a huge impact on the. You know,
it's
image of where we're at.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a very small sample size.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, if you kind of break down the numbers of, you know, what player or what the teams would get as far as, you know, based on their what they're getting right now on average for a point per game or points per game. Right now, the Wild would end up the season with about 96 points, 97 points, which... It's not horrible. Usually, in most cases, that's enough for a playoff spot.
Well, not in our division, though.
But in our division, yes.
Right.
Right.
But and that's assuming the Purds don't turn around, the Avs don't turn around, the Jets don't turn around, the Stars don't turn around.
Right.
You know, I feel pretty confident saying one of those four teams is going to be better in the last... 70 games or 65 games or whatever we got left right now, depending on the team.
Definitely.
Well, and Tim said it in the chat, and I was thinking it also. I mean, Blackhawks have been on a roll right now. I mean, they just jumped, what, three spots, I think, in the last, like, half a week?
They got off to a really bad start, but, like, the first, like, two or three games. But since then,
yes.
But that's where it goes. Like,
yeah. Tides can turn.
A couple games at this point in the season, and all of a sudden, wow, you're looking great.
Yeah.
You know, a couple good games, a couple bad games, you're not looking so hot. So. Right.
I mean, I think after we get past this, you know, December season that we all dread with the Wild.
Right.
New coach this year, so hopefully we don't see the same thing that we've seen in years past.
That December slump.
The slumper.
Yeah.
You know, that'll kind of be where it turns around, because that's when the Wild seem to lose that edge of being in one of the contending spots,
yep.
And all of a sudden they're fighting after that. You know, so if they can kind of even keep the play that they're doing right now, you know, you lose a couple, but you win three in a row, you lose two close games. I think they have a standing chance of being in one of the top one or two spots in the division, assuming they can stay healthy and they're not clawing their way back after a really crappy December like it has been.
Right. And I have to agree with you there. You know, if we can find some way to just even, like, maintain, like, an average December where where we don't just 50, completely 50. Drop
what is
off.
That? I don't even know anymore.
Just go 500.
A 500 December?
Yes.
Is that what we're looking at?
Yes.
But the thing is, well, it's honestly, it's even beyond December, because we've had great Decembers even relatively recently, but it's then, okay, now it's kicked off to a bad January. You know, it's like we've got, if we can handle a mid-season, if we can avoid actually a mid-season dip and just avoid that, that would be mind-blowing.
So what we're saying really then is that we need to go a whole season where we don't have, maybe we don't have the 9-game winning streak, but we also don't have the 9, 10, or 11-game, you know, losing or overtime loss or tie streaks. You know, I mean, that's
a couple 2-3-game losing streaks in a row, and then have, you know, a winning streak, you know,
that offsets it,
right, you know. If we have a couple 5-5 streaks, you know, over a 10-game span, hey, that's all right. That's 500.
Exactly.
It's the ones where it's a prolonged loss after loss after loss.
Yeah.
Not
only does it take a toll on your, you know, your overall standings, but it also takes I think it takes a bigger toll on your team when, you know, those types of streaks get drawn out like that. Just the same, though, you know, if you get on a hot streak and a win streak and the wheels are churning and you're winning, I mean, you know, everybody's feeling on top of the world at that point. And, you know, it kind of can snowball like that and things can get better too. So,
no doubt.
Yeah. So with that, who would you guys predict that, you know, to come out on top of the Central Division this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's the easy pick to say the Blackhawks just because it's the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
They're a team that when they're hot, they're pretty much unstoppable.
I mean, their top line is a top line.
Crawford's been playing hot.
You know, who knows with Crawford, though, because, you know, we saw at the end of last year where he'd get, like, just, you know, at a point, Darling was the top goalie there. He was the darling.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, if I'm going to say, if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to say Blackhawks because that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If I'm talking, like, you know, out of the box, Blackhawks are the only one that's like, seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I look at the Blues, it's like, they could jump up. The Wild, sure, they could jump up. Stars, well, yeah, why not? You know, any other team could jump up. But Blackhawks are the only one where it's like,
look at it and it's solid.
It's solid. It's too easy to not pick them, you know.
Blues, I mean, kind of depend on where, you know, Tarasenko and where Shattenkirk are sitting at that point. Because if those two are hot, especially Tarasenko, if he's on fire, he's a one-man army, like, just going to town. The Wild have been pretty good about shutting him down, luckily.
Right.
But even, like, their goaltending can be hit or miss. You know, Jake Allen, we've seen him up and down quite often. Allen's with Blues, right?
Which one did they get rid of? I don't even remember.
Elliott, I think, right?
They got rid of Elliott.
Yeah, I think Jake Allen is still their goaltender.
Yeah.
And I guess I kind of agree with you guys there that, you know, the Blackhawks, yeah, they can be good. But I got to go, I think, more in your corner there, Kenny. I think that the Blues actually probably have more, I think, more depth at this point right now than the Blackhawks do. I think the Blackhawks, they still have, you know, the big top line, but I think that they, you know, some of the moves that have been made in the recent years, you know, shuffling out some of their talent after, you know, winning, I mean, it gets expensive to keep all those guys around, so.
That's where a good scouting program comes in big time, though. Because, I mean, if you can keep those guys developing and you can keep that talent cheap.
So what you're saying, then, is that the Wild better not win a cup because we will have a crappy team for
If they're not going to win a cup, that means they can't actually make the playoffs either. They got to just tank it bad.
Yeah. I'm still going to make the argument, though, with the Blues, though. You've got Allen, and you don't have a road-tested backup. So they have injury problems, or look at our playoff series against them. Everyone remembers the Allen.
Oh, yeah.
He's prone to streaks of crappitude.
Yeah.
And they don't have Backus anymore, so who knows how they're going to hold up, you know, from a physical standpoint over the long run. So I'm poking holes in your story, but at the same point, I don't know. I mean,
who's Crawford's backup right now in Chicago?
Isn't it still Darling?
Is it?
I believe it's still Darling.
The roster right now.
I'm pretty sure Darling's still there. He's still the Darling of Chicago.
It is still Scott Darling. Yeah. I mean, look at the Wild's current backup right now. Kemper has not played well when he's gone out.
Oh, sure, but I'm not saying that the Wild.
Okay.
You know, the Wild are going to be the ones at the top at the end. So, because I think the Wild has similar issues where we don't have a proven backup. And we're already seeing it earlier this year with injuries, you know, how we're going to fare later down the road when, you know, if Parise's back, who's going to be, someone else is going to get injured at some point. Who's it going to be and is going to be an integral part of this team, you know?
Well, speaking of that,
so
we move on to the injuries.
Yeah, movements and stuff.
Sure. So yeah, Aaron, as you're alluding too. Parisi's still out. He says he's about 70% foot. I think it was like a minor fracture.
So that's like three toes. He's good.
Yeah, he's three toes good right now. Hollow's still out with a foot. He did skate by himself today. Neither of them are expected to.
Does he have no friends?
Apparently not. Yeah. I was waiting for the crickets.
Well, you should control the samples then.
I think I saw that Parisi had skated the other day too. So
did he?
Yeah. So it's got to be getting close.
Neither one of them are expected to make the 3-game road trip coming up. But it is looking on the upside, or looking more and more up, that they will be back soon. Scandella's still out. He hasn't skated. There's no foreseeable time on his return. Zach Delpy earlier this week underwent knee surgery to repair a lateral meniscus tear in his right knee. Expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Not good.
And they currently have him on long-term IR. And then actually going down, Schrader and Birchie both got reassigned to Iowa today.
But then probably for cap move.
More than likely for a cap.
At least for cap move. Maybe for, because Birchie has not had a couple good games, and Schrader has looked like an NHL player.
Schrader has looked.
Right.
So right now, Russo's kind of speculating that Riley will get called up for this road trip.
Right.
For the it's Pittsburgh, Philly, Ottawa coming up. But right now, I mean, obviously we've seen some of this stuff happening with the Wild. What player do you think is having the biggest impact of not playing right now? I mean,
so you mean which guy on IR?
Yeah, that's currently not skating with the Wild is having the biggest impact.
Well, I mean, the easy one to see would be to say Parisi, right? I mean,
that would be the no-brainer, but I mean, his numbers aren't where his numbers have been in years past at this point either.
And Hollow was, you know, he was a fire star, but is he back now?
No, he's not.
No, he's still out.
He's still out.
So, you know, and well, Hollow was also one of those PK guys that I think is why, because Hollow's got the speed, and Aaron, this could go back to your Zucker question earlier. Was it you that brought that up, right? Yeah. With having him on the PK, the fact that you don't have a speedy guy now, where Hollow would normally be on that PK line to have that speed.
But they seem to be doing all right on the PK without him.
They do.
You know, I don't know. I think it's pretty easy to say that it's Parisi. You know, you could make an argument that Scandella, because when you're not playing Scandella, you have a higher likelihood of Prosser playing. And Prosser has not looked good so far this year. I know I'm saying like words that no Wild fan has ever heard before. Follin's looked really good though,
yeah.
As far as defensively, but Prosser hasn't looked very good at all.
I don't know. I think that Prosser doesn't bring a lot to the table, but he also doesn't. I feel that he's you know, a veteran, and he plays his position, basically, you know.
Well, this is true. He's had a couple rough games, and that's that's hurt him in any sort of perception. I mean, I know it hurts him with the perception of the fans and the media, and I know that has to hurt his perception with the coaching staff, because they see this way more than we do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they've rewatched and rewatched and rewatched everything that these guys have done. So,
well, looking at the numbers, both Scandella and Prosser have both played 7 games. They both have 1 assist, and Scandella's a -6, Prosser's at a 0. Although Prosser was also playing that whole series where Dubnyk was on his shutout terror.
Right. So how much of it is just self-selection? How much is that Prosser just contributing to the game?
The Wild side.
I know we had this discussion the other day. What is the plus minus, and how does it actually reflect what happened?
What you do to the game, right?
Right.
You know, this is just the Wild site, so it doesn't have average time on ice, which could very well throw those numbers off.
Right.
Quite a bit.
Well, that, and it's who, you know, it's a matter of who you're matched up against. Scandella's not going to be. Is less likely to play against the third and fourth lines, whereas Prosser is more likely to play against those lines. So it's also a self-selection kind of a situation there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we got those guys down. Coming up, we've got Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday's in Pittsburgh. In the past 3 years, the Wild have been outscored in Pittsburgh 16-5 with three losses. So it's not looking good, especially being down, you know, a couple of 1-2 line players.
So you're predicting them to win.
Yeah, and Malkin's been just on a tear for Pittsburgh right now. Saturday, we're in Philly, and then Sunday, 22 hours after the Flyers face-off, is a face-off in Ottawa, so it's going to be a tight game. I'm guessing we're probably going to see Kemper playing one of those games. I would hope maybe in Ottawa, not in Philly, but...
I think it depends on how Pittsburgh goes.
That's going to be a big part of it.
If Pittsburgh is a blowout, you got to figure Kemper's going to get a shot. If it's close, maybe they roll. I mean, you could throw it either way. If Pittsburgh is a blowout, it's a no-brainer to start Kemper in Philly.
Yeah.
But
I guess I don't really see that happening, though. I mean, if there has been one thing that's been pretty solid, it's been Dubnyk's goaltending.
Dubnyk has been... he's been remarkably solid.
Yes, when you're losing games 1-0 or 2-1, it's hard to blame the goalie.
So yeah, that's what's coming up this week. So I think the Wild are doing is like 10 games in 17 days coming up or something crazy.
Sometime they'll have more than two games in a week.
Yeah, well, yeah, they had a nice little down stretch where it was, like, what, two games in, like, a week and a half or something like that.
Right.
And then also now it's, like, 10 games in...
3 games in 4 days.
All on the road.
Right.
Was that so they could, you know, do the deer hunting opener or something like that?
Maybe.
Sponsored by Gander Mountain.
Right.
And Carl's Jr.
So yeah, McHugh is actually wondering what yeah. are predictions.
Tim Nato is asking for predictions for the 3-game Eastern swing. I'm gonna say 1 win, 2 losses. I'm gonna say loss at Pittsburgh, win at Philly, loss at Ottawa. That's what I'm gonna say.
I'm going to, you know, I think it's going to be a loss in Pittsburgh, but I think it's actually going to be tighter than what we're,
yeah.
Than what the numbers have shown over the past 3 years.
Yep.
Maybe an overtime loss, potentially.
Okay.
Philly, I'm going to go with a win in Philly, and I, you know what, I'm actually going to go with a win in Ottawa, too. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with a OT loss and two
Homer.
Rotor. They'd be on the road. Huh.
Yes,
you want to hear?
They are.
You want to know what's really going to happen?
What's going to happen?
There's going to be 2 wins, no losses, and 1 overtime loss.
That's still a loss in my book.
That's what I said. did you not listen to the words coming
out
of my mouth?
Well, I'm telling you what's going to happen, though.
That's what I said.
I haven't finished.
Okay.
Oh.
I haven't finished.
Oh, nerds!
Damn it. That's what she said. Damn it. I wish I had my sample bank up here. Hopefully I'll be back. No, but I think that we're going to go out to Philly there. We're going to find a little bit more offense.
Humongous big.
And we're going to... That'll probably be our overtime loss. But I think that we had some pretty good luck the last time that we were... out towards the east, and I think that that's going to continue. The Wild have actually been fairly solid on the road so far this year. I don't think we've got some serious road woes or anything. We just need to get our legs under us early in the game and, you know, not wait till, you know, there's 10 minutes left and we need to, you know, make something happen. So, but I think that, yeah, it's going to be close in Pittsburgh. We might lose that one in OT, but I think we'll win the couple others there.
All right. Are we ready for some Twitter talk?
Yeah, let's do that.
First question, friend of the show, Derek Felska, at State of Hockey News. Gaming and hockey, no gliding as a special ability. What special abilities would Suter have as a gaming card?
Penalty kill?
I would say plus...
Power play?
I'm going to say plus three endorse quick trip.
Plus three endorse quick trip. Wow.
Or plus five look awkward.
Plus two for your central heating and air conditioning.
That'd be a minus two because he stole it from Clutterbuck.
Ooh. Well, only if Clutterbuck plays against Suter. If you play your Clutterbuck card on Suter, then it's a minus two.
Right.
And one hit.
But if you play against Heatley, because it's a heater.
Oh. Is that a plus three?
Sure, why not? Oh, wait, where's our heater?
Oh, heater got heated.
Our heater bobblehead, where is this? He got a little hurt in a fire.
He kind of exploded a little bit.
He's got a spring sticking out of the back of his neck. He's missing his nose and an arm. But, you know.
Well,
1507 or something like that.
I think that the obvious one would actually be, like a plus 10 to stamina or something.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You know, if I can't go with gliding, I'm going to go with the extra stamina.
Okay. That's what she said?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hey, if I can't. All right.
Okay. Drive. Next question.
Next question comes in from Felska as well to three in the box. Hashtag hockey fights cancer. Which creative promotion for this program would you like to see?
Well, I think we saw it, and I think Aaron's got the same thing.
We tweeted it. We had a good tweet where during the game on Saturday, Spurgeon lost a skate blade, and he bambi-footed it over to the bench.
Well, after he was doing circles on one knee.
Circles on one knee. He gets over to the bench, and he's leaning over the boards with the equipment manager.
The toque?
Equipment manager fixing his skate, but the angle looked like he was giving me a proctology exam. I was like, wow, they've really taken this hockey fights cancer thing a little too seriously in the NHL. So that would be a good start.
I think so. I think they're well on their way to a good promo.
How about lavender-colored nut cups?
Oh.
Because why not?
Lavender or pink?
Well, lavender.
Lavender is like the prostate cancer version.
Oh, the prostate version.
Yeah, yeah. I see.
So basically,
the prosser version?
Oh.
Sorry.
So you're saying...
So punny.
You're saying everybody should
so
wear their...
So punny?
You put the quarter in him tonight. You're saying everybody should put their cups on the outside like a cod piece? In lavender?
Why not? Come on, ideas.
I got no ideas.
We got to give the NHL some ideas here.
Right.
Fels is begging us for this.
I know everybody can, like, put a purple ribbon on their jersey.
What about, like, lavender?
That's original, isn't
lavender
it?
Contacts.
Ooh.
Or lavender or, visors.
Or eye black.
Eye purple?
Eye lavender?
Yeah.
That sounds like a really bad, like gay porn site. I don't know why, but... I just imagine Suter, like, stretched out. Welcome to Eye Lavender.
Oh, God. I can't... My retinas in my brain are just burning right now.
All right.
All right, so from State of Hockey, not to be confused with State of Hockey News, from State of Hockey at Mini Puck 2027, what do you think the trade value for Granlund, assuming he isn't in the long-term plans for the Wild?
I think he's got value. I mean, he does win faceoff. He's not like PMB of days of yore where he loses faceoffs, but he's got a similar build. you know, he's a setup guy, much like PMB was. People want him to be a scorer, but he's not. He's never been a scorer. That's a secondary trait. So I think there's going to be value. I just don't know. And I think at this point, he's proven to be relatively durable. He hasn't had the concussions pop up here in the last couple of years. I don't know. You think they're going to have to move someone at some point here. So it's going to be a matter of who you end up moving. Granny seems like a very obvious choice just because of his contract and his age. But I don't know.
I mean, you mentioned faceoffs, which that's presuming he's sitting in the center role, which this year he really hasn't been as much. He's been on the wing side. So it seems like he's adapted to that position quite a bit better. I think that's what he was playing in the World Cup of Hockey for Finland too, wasn't it? And he was doing okay actually putting the pucks in the net then.
Well, and you don't need him to. I don't think he's ever going to be like a 30 goal scorer. But if you can get him hitting like 20 and getting like 30, 40 assists, that's
60-point season for him.
That's going to be pretty valuable. But
I think it's very doable for him.
I think it is too. But he needs supporting cast because he's not scoring. And then who on the Wild is going to be the players that are scoring? I don't know that.
Nobody.
Yeah. All right. Last question from Tom Hoen, and that's at THOEN88. The Wild is going to lose a quality D man in the expansion draft. Who gets protected with Suter? Do you have Brodin? Do you have Spurgeon? Do you have Folan? Dumba? Do you have Scandella? Who gets protected with him?
Well, right now, you would think maybe Dumba, because Dumba's playing that top line with him currently. But with Scandy being out, I mean, I don't see Brodin. I don't see Spurgeon. My guess is it's going to have to either be...
Let's say you can protect two guys, just for the sake of argument.
Dumba and Scandella at that point, I think, are going to be the two choices from my end.
For myself, I guess I would go probably Dumba, but then I would probably stick with, you know, I think somebody who's got a little bit more tenure and experience at Spurgeon and keep, you know, I think that it pays well to keep that veteran player around. So.
Well, and I got to agree. Spurgeon, I think, is an easy choice to pick.
Yeah.
However, I'm feeling less sold on Dumba this year. I don't think he's had a very good year. He's made a lot of, I think, mental mistakes. We're still early in the season, so I should temper anything that I say about him with that. But at the end of the season, he's cheap compared to Brodin. Folan is going to be the one that's probably going to hurt because he's pretty inexpensive. If he has a good year this year, you might want to end up keeping him. I think Scandella is one you're going to lose. So to summarize, I'm probably going to say Spurgeon and either Folan or Dumba at this point.
And, you know, I hear what you're saying about Dumba, but I think that, you know, when you see him with his like mental type mistakes, I think a lot of that is due with, I think he plays a little bit more of an aggressive game as a defenseman, and sometimes gets himself into trouble that way. But I think that the upside to that though is what you like to see.
But he's gonna have to learn quickly, otherwise he's gonna be exposed in the expansion draft. I mean, because right? As all of us, he's not getting any younger.
He's not, but he's still
Ponce de Leon's. But he's of youth. I'm golden right now.
He's still got youth on his side, and he still has time to learn. And the upside, if you know, he finds a way to shore up those loose ends on the back end, you know, and not make those silly mistakes, you know, which you know honestly comes through, you know. practice, repetition, and you know, game time experience. So I think that especially after another full season of experience under his belt, it's something you're not going to want to miss.
Hard to disagree with. I mean, the Wild are going to have a tough problem at the end of this year. I mean, hopefully all these players are doing so well that they feel bad about having to expose any of these players.
Right.
Right now, there's some gaps.
Yep.
And we're hoping that Las Vegas picks Prosser or someone, I guess.
But then he'll have to wear then he'll have to wear hot pink, right?
The wishful thinking. Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah. You might as well keep on dreaming on that one. Anyway, I think that's it for Twitter Talk. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Pretty much Twitter, Instagram, at NostraCanius. You know, actually, you could, you know, if you want to jump on Instagram, most of those go right to Twitter, but there's some other Twitter stuff on there. Other than that, you can usually find me slumming around some sort of music venue or a church.
All right.
Holy Kenny.
Yeah.
And Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
All right. As for myself, you can find links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron.
I got to get mine fixed.
You're about.me?
Yeah, you know, I think last time I went on there, I could not just change the name. They wanted me to delete my account and make a new one.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Are we done?
I think so.
I think we're done. Thanks everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at 3inthebox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB, and we'll probably read them on the show, as long as they're not too bad.
Yeah.
Or if we don't have too many of them, sometimes we have like a zillion.
Or if we're not already planning on covering it earlier in the episode.
Right. You can listen to our podcast on our website, 3inthebox.com or through your favorite podcast player.
Watch us live.
Watch us live on YouTube. And that's it for this episode. Thanks, everyone.